This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Thank you. hey, listen, y'all need to tell everybody we're here 6 a.m. until 10 every Sunday morning. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Got some firemen listening to us, man. Firehouse up there in Paulding County, Brandon Newsom, who is one of the guys who you shake your head and you wonder how he gets through life in his house. He's a fireman. I forgot his actual title. He's like running things up.
Hope he didn't have to go out and do any work last night because of all of our friends that were doing their own fireworks displays at their homes.
I hope he did. But he's listening, and his wife is an ER nurse. He's a fireman.
Wow.
She's an ER nurse during this time. So
thank you to both.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you to both.
Buy a lunch for them folks. But as we talk about the NBA, which is what we were going to do in this segment, and we have been hearing what is going on down there with this bubble and the speculation of what's going to happen. And David Stern, may he rest in peace, Adam Silver, and where he started the conversation about what was going to happen down there and all the money they poured in, was it $150 million? This bubble and everything that's happening with it is going to cost the NBA. But the conversation is coming out of him has had an ebb and flow that makes you believe, at least it makes me believe, that at some point, if the news of this virus continues as it's coming or resurfacing. Now, this is not round two. This is a continuation of round one, but just sort of coming back. He's made it feel like he would do the inevitable and pull the plug on this season. I haven't felt that from his previous words, but I'm sort of hearing it now. How about you, Sam?
I feel like they've done the best they can do to get things prepared and to be safe. And, you know, we had a former Laker and a former Clark Atlanta coach, George Lynch, on with me this past week when I was on subbing for John Chuckery. And he felt like it was good. He felt like the bubble was going to be good, that the players were going to get there. Because one of the concerns, Greg, is that just the players themselves being able to remember to adhere to it. You know, you got people who've been used to, when they're in the element of playing, having those freedoms to do things, you know, that you may want to do, but knowing that they can't leave that as they normally would. And how they monitor that and how they get along with that, that's still a question mark. But I believe they're gonna get started. I believe they're gonna play. Now, if for some reason the bubble gets, you know, I would say contaminated or something, man, yeah, everything would be off then. But I think the NBA has done an awful lot of work, and MLS as well, to bring the players into a situation that is safe. Those who don't feel like it are opting out, and they have that option. But I think enough of the players on the teams that have the chance to win it are going to go down and get a chance because of what's at stake and what's on the line. So I think that's happening. I'll tell you something else that I've heard a lot of players saying, that maybe they shouldn't go, that it would detract from the movement that's going on. And I
think that's been squashed.
I don't know. You talk to some people, and some people still see that by them going and playing these games, that it takes away from the movement. I don't think so. I think it's their platform and their opportunity to make a gesture wear a name or say something before or after they play to drive home their support for it and their concern for it. Yeah. So I just don't get that. And the reason, the thing I ask, Rick, what if Tommy Smith and John Carlos, both residents of Atlanta now, in 1968 had said, you know what, we're not going to go to the Olympics and run. It would take away from what's going on in these streets. Think about all that's happened in this country in 1968. By the time you got to the Olympics, all the things that had happened in this country. And what if they said, you know what, we're not going to Mexico City. Is that what detract from what's going on? No, they go to Mexico City, they compete, and they strike a pose on the victory stand, on the medal stand, that is iconic.
Yep.
It is iconic, and it has inspired people for generations. Why would you want to miss out on an opportunity to do that? I just don't get it. Maybe somebody can call me and tell me why, if the players go and play, it's going to take away the track from the movement. Because I don't get it. 404-741-0929. Call me up and call me crazy if you want to. But you take away an opportunity to have a moment like Smith and Carl. I mean, maybe Jahi gets it.
Hang on before you bring Jahi in there, Sam.
Okay, yeah.
You're a locomotive that's already caught some steam. I want to jump on real quick because you're going downhill. One of the things that people should also remember that's a part of it, and they knew this was going to happen. So along with everything else that you just said that was in place, they knew there was going to be retribution. And I'm telling you what, before they got on the plane to come home, they had already been stripped.
Yep.
They had already had their medals taken. I don't know if they physically took them from them, but their positions where they came, you know, they had been taken off.
But not just that, they couldn't get jobs. For the longest time, nobody would touch either Smith and Carlos. They couldn't find work for the longest time. It was a very, very severe backlash against them for doing what they did in Mexico City. But years later, that picture inspires people, not just in athletics. There are people, if you go to their office, in their business, whatever they do, you will see that picture on the wall. It's something that just motivates and inspires them to this day. So why would today's player and today's athlete miss out on an opportunity to do something like that? I don't get it. I totally don't.
Well, we're going to talk about here in just a minute somebody else who did something similar to that but in a different vein. But getting back to what's going on down in Orlando and just everything surrounding the testing and the protocols are in place. There was some comments from Adam Silver that we got a hold of, and I want you guys hear what he has said about this virus and the unpredictability of it and what may or may not happen moving forward.
Never full steam ahead, no matter what. I think one thing we're learning about this virus is much is unpredictable. And I think we and our players together with their union, the Players Association, look at the data on a daily basis. And if there were something to change that was outside of the scope of what we're playing for, certainly we would revisit our plans. I'd also say, we're testing daily. We haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and we were to see spread in our community, that would, of course, would be a cause for us to stop as well.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver talking about life in Orlando. The happiest, is that the one or is that in Anaheim? The happiest place on the planet. What was that?
Happiest
Walt Disney
place
said
on
back?
Earth. That's Disney. Yeah, on happiest Earth, place me. On Earth. Yeah. The Magic Kingdom.
Well, that would be Anaheim, California, because there wasn't no Orlando then. Disney World wasn't happening when he made that statement.
Yeah, but I think they call all of them that. If you're at a Disney property, it's the happiest place on Earth.
Till you check your statement.
Well, hey, man. But you know, the music follows you everywhere.
Oh, man.
You know, the music, everywhere you go, you hear the music of a Disney theme of a Disney movie everywhere you go. In the hotels or in the office. It's amazing when you spend a lot of time around.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. But sticking in basketball and talking about statements being made. And I don't know, is this hyperbole by saying the statement we saw play out this week as significant as John Carlos and Tommy Smith is what Maya Moore did in totality, not just the release of the guy, but what she did for her own career to do this and make this happen, and culminating with her hitting her knees this past week. How did that touch you, Maya Moore, in that story, having Jonathan Irons released after being sentenced at 16 to 50 years, and there was just a fingerprint, that was never shown and never presented during court, that somehow Maya and her people, they got a hold of it, and that's what started the mechanism moving forward to get him released. When you saw that this week, man, what do you think?
I've never been prouder to say I've covered a young person's career than I am of Maya Moore. And I covered her during the dominant years. She played at Collins Hill High School and just dominated the state of Georgia, winning playing in four state championship games and winning three of them, and National Player of the Year and so many awards. She wins in everything she does, Greg.
Yes, she has.
Everything she does, she wins, if it's on the court, if it's off the court. And, you know, to take a pause in the prime of her career, like I always say about anybody that plays a pro sport, you got a short window in order to perform at this sport at a certain level where you're going to be rewarded and paid handsomely and, you know, get to live that life of one of the elite athletes on the planet. Whatever team you get to make and be a part of, you only got a short time to do it. And so in this window of time, she says, I'm going to step away from this. I got a higher calling. I got something else that I need to do. And you really want to see who she inspires coming, you know, going forward. Because I won't say it. She kind of makes the guys look a little bad because, I mean, you're willing to step away. But I'm just saying she makes them look kind of bad because she steps away from what she's doing to do something that's on a whole different plane and a whole different level. And so just my goodness, she gets the ESPY next year for sure. But imagine some of the other things that she will get, not just as a player, but now as a humanitarian and the recognition she'll receive for this.
Well, not only that.
And I'm not saying she did it for the recognition.
She didn't.
It's something that she believed. Everybody knows who Maya Moore is, you know, so that's the thing. But to do this, you know, is just tremendous. And like I said, all she does is win.
You talked about the men. She is a person who would have had a career in basketball at the highest level talking about the sport if she never played in the NBA, given what she did in college. I mean, her college career is right there next to Christian Leitner's, who's considered the greatest college basketball winner of all time. Gosh, they forget about Elsender and all them, what you call it, guys out there in UCLA. But having said that, what she's done once she got to the NBA and now this achievement in getting Jonathan Irons released and the knuckle draggers that have come out and sort of downplayed it because A, she's a woman. B, she came from the WNBA, you know, and whatever else nonsensical excuse they used. That's what was maddening this past week. But listen, at the end of the day, as the dust settles, people will continuously talk about what she's done and the sacrifice she made. And listen, it won't be Ali-like, but it won't be far behind. You know, he fought the government. She gave up a whole lot doing what she did for somebody else. And the question is, do you know five people in your life, Sam? Excuse me. Do you know two people in your life that would do for you what she did for this guy?
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Anyway, we've got Maya here talking about what a feeling and how that fulfilled her getting Jonathan released.
I really felt like I could rest. I mean, I've been standing and we've been standing for so long, and it was an unplanned moment where I just felt relief and just, it was a kind of a worshipful moment, just dropping to my knees and just being so thankful that we made it.
Again, that's Maya Moore talking about the fulfillment of getting Jonathan Irons released, especially Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam, again, I ask you, and the audience, and I'm doing this to you rhetorically, of course, but can you name two people? Let's say, exclude your wife, exclude family members, outside your family. And you guys, listen, do you know two people who would do for you what this woman did for this guy? Now, this is a family friend. Her family, by the way, Maya Moore's family, had been, I don't know the best way to put this. They had done some work, they'd done some ministry work in the prisons. And so that was their connection. But this is something that is a conversation that has gone on throughout her family for years because of the ministry they've done. And she's obviously had been talking to people along those lines. Somebody got to her, and she has always continuously been interested in it. They got the job done. Now, the next part about that is, and I don't mean to shortchange this, but He was released. He was, the conviction was overturned on March 9th. Okay. He got released. What was it? The end of June, last day of June. We're now July 5th.
Right.
Was it July 1st or June 30th, whatever he was released. The point of it is it took that long for him to be released after it being overturned. And that was one of the next things that she wanted to work on and get questioned, because why should it take this long for this guy to get out? Anyway, again, we can't say enough about what she has done, and we wanted to spend some time today talking about that, Mr. Crenshaw.
Absolutely. She deserves it.
Let's switch gears and talk, no pun intended, NASCAR next. They are at the Brickyard today, and we're going to talk to Dustin Long next, NBC. Join Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg here every Sunday morning from 6 a.m. until 10. Tell all your friends, coworkers, your clergy folks, whoever. Let them know we're here. Let them know also they can check us out on the radio.com app and all the devices, including smart speakers. And before we talk to Dustin, I'm to pass a message on to you, Mr. Crenshaw, from the Paulding County
Yes.
Fire Department. They were
Yes.
out chasing fireworks all last night. Firework fires.
How? Yeah.
Didn't give me a number, but I'm to tell you, yes, they were out chasing firework fires all night long. And it was a little bit, he didn't say this, but like I said, I saw a whole lot more because, you know, folks were just not out and about. And plus, they're so plentiful here in Georgia. They're just doing backyard things, which means that's probably why he had them fires, because folks burned down their backyard. So anyway, just wanted to pass that on to you. It is time to talk NASCAR, and we want to welcome friend of the show. We haven't talked to him in a while, but obviously we'd love to get his perspective on what's going to happen with, or what's happening with this sport, what's been happening and what's going to happen moving forward. But Dustin, as we bring you on, as we've asked all of the guests for the first time they've joined us during this craziness, how are you and your family doing during this time, man?
Hey, thanks, guys. It's good to talk to you. I was just going to ask you guys the same thing. Things are well with my family, and fortunately, we've all been good during this pandemic. This is actually the first time I've traveled out of North Carolina since NASCAR resumed. I was at the last NASCAR race in Phoenix before the pandemic, which was the week before the Atlanta race. And so I hadn't been on the road anywhere. So this is it's a new experience going through airports and just kind of getting used to all those things with here being on the road. But everything's good with me, and I hope everything's good with your family as well during this time.
Listen, before we get into anything specific, let's just say we move this forward real quick, and you are the one who has to describe, at least up to this point, this NASCAR season. If you could put it into words, yeah, I didn't start off with a softball over the plate. I came with Mariano Rivera.
Wow, man, it's early in the morning, and you're asking the writer to come up with words.
Well, I mean, it's got to be head scratching. And listen, it's been this way for Sam and I as we talk about this. But this particular sport, the changes that have happened, the way the drivers have gone through what they've gone through, just overall, I mean, you don't have to get too deep, but just as you sit here right now on July 5th and you look at your sport, what are your thoughts?
I guess, you know, the first word that comes to mind as you were talking about that is revolutionary. And maybe that's a word many people wouldn't think as much about. And there's many layers and factors. First of all, off the track, you know, this sport has certainly had, has certainly had a reputation or has been viewed as maybe not being as opening or as welcome to the black community or minority community because of, for many years, the Confederate flag and maybe the history that people viewed as. And, you know, the banning of the Confederate flag, you know, and I think a lot of people say that that should have been done a long, long time ago, but that being done, you look at how the drivers rallied around Bubba Wallace at Talladega, and just that image of them walking and pushing the car down pit road was something that I don't know if many people would have thought that they would have seen in, you know, at any time. You know, the image of, and actually I talked to, for a story on NBCSports.com/NASCAR, a week or so ago, I talked to, you know, some of the black fans that came from the Atlanta area and went to Talladega and were those who were, that Bubba walked out to, the fence and slapped hands with, and, after he heard them chanting their name. And, you know, when I talked to them, they said that, you know, they hadn't been to a NASCAR race. They had, when they went to go, they kind of had some concerns, and they said that they actually had a really good experience, and they had people coming up to them and thanking them for what they were doing and welcoming them to the sport. So in that sense, I think a lot of people view that as certainly very revolutionary for the sport. Obviously, the sport has wanted to be welcoming and has done different things for diversity on and off the track. But I think, you know, even talking with some of the fans, again, they had this image and idea that, hey, this might not be the most welcoming place. And so I think some of the things that are being done to kind of be more welcoming and opening is something that's important for the sport, and trying to reach out to a wider community and certainly to the black community to make sure that they feel comfortable going to the race. You want to talk about on the track, revolutionary in the fact that we're seeing races run with no fans. We're seeing races run with no practice, no qualifying. We're seeing events, one-day shows. We've seen midweek races. We've seen, you know, just a lot of different things. So, you know, some of these things may be incorporated into the 2021 schedule. Maybe we'll see a midweek race. Maybe we'll see someplace they did go a one-day show. Or maybe it's, hey, you know, do they need to be at a weekend for three days? Maybe it's a two-day show. Type of thing. So, you know, it's a long answer because there's so much that's been going on. And again, it's, you know, when I left Phoenix in March, the week before that Atlanta race, could have never told you any of this stuff was going to happen, or would have never thought that. If you'd have told me that, you know, by July 5th, this and this and this and this and this was going to happen, my head would have been spinning. And it has been spinning in a way, but I think it's been a lot of good changes, and certainly, especially off the track, a lot of good changes for the sport.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Dustin Long with NBC Sports. They are taking the baton today, and they'll be covering the Brickyard 400 later on today up in Indianapolis. Dustin, a couple of things you left out, though, is esports, and esports is something that allowed the drivers to stay plugged in and the fans plugged in. It didn't go very well for Jimmy Johnson, though, and now a positive test for COVID-19. I'm not saying things could go worse in his final year as a competitor, but he's had a lot of obstacles.
Yeah, again, and he was asked about that when he talked to the media yesterday, and you know, and what it's supposed to be is, you know, what is his final cup season, full-time cup season, you know, an opportunity to, you know, be able to do things with fans. You're not able to do things with fans. It's you kind of had this weird season, and now he's had the coronavirus, and he talked about, you know, he, for those who aren't aware, you know, his wife tested positive for it last week, and, you know, he said that she had some allergy-like symptoms. And they've been staying out in the Aspen, Colorado area. So she went to a hospital or a place to get tested. And it took a couple of days to get the results. They got the results Friday. And so then he went to get tested with along with their children. So Jimmy Johnson's tested positive. His wife has tested positive. But his kids have not. And Jimmy says he has no symptoms and does not know how that they got it. He says, you know, they've been careful and with social distancing and wearing masks and things like that. So uncertain how it happened with him. But, so he has that. And now he is not able to return to NASCAR until he has two negative tests that have to be more than 24 hours apart, and then has to, get some approval from his from the doctor, to his physician. So, in theory, if he, and one of the things that he said is he doesn't know how long he's had it, even though he tested positive Friday. I mean, it's been a case that he's had it for 10 days already and just didn't know about it, or is that day one or day two? So, he won't be competing in today's race. In theory, if he tested negative on Monday and went back and tested negative like Tuesday afternoon or something, or Wednesday, and then got, a doctor's form, he could be back in the car the following weekend at Kentucky. Or he might miss Kentucky. He might miss the July 15th All-Star race at Bristol and so forth. So, it's a tough situation. But, one of the things that he says has been really tough for him is that, he and his wife are trying to still parent, but also isolate from his children to make sure that they don't catch it. And he says it's, seeing the fear in their eyes is something that is heartbreaking to him.
Wow. That's a lot of folks are spending time with Dustin Long, NBC Sports, part of the NASCAR coverage as they get set for the Brickyard coming up later today. That said, what is it like for you? You hadn't been to the track, Indianapolis. You're back on your old stomping grounds. So I know you weren't going to miss this opportunity. And for them to be there at the same time as the Indy cars. What has that been like this weekend?
Yeah, you're right. I'm from here. I grew up about an hour from Indianapolis. And so I've been coming to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway since like the late 70s. So, it was fun to watch the Indy cars on the track. It was fun to watch the Xfinity cars on the road course yesterday as well. The one thing that was really, I was at one of the cup races at Charlotte. So I've been to one of these races since the series resumed, and I've been in a place where there were no fans. It really didn't strike me as much at Charlotte, maybe because, the media were basically only allowed to be in the press box area. So at Charlotte, I'm just looking out toward pit road. I'm not looking out toward the stands. In Indianapolis, 200,000 plus fans are looking out of the track, but you also see all these empty stands. And it's really, really stark, and it just really stood out. And I think, one of the things that, and I took some video, posted it on Twitter, after the command, the fire engines, and the IndyCar race, and the extended NASCAR Xfinity race yesterday. And it's just like, if you're at the races, when they do the command, people are cheering. There's a big roar just because, hey, it's everything's been building to this moment. Maybe you traveled a short distance or maybe you traveled a long distance. You've been tailgating all morning, and it's just an event, and it's just like, hey, here it is. It's about ready to start. It's just this great roar. But yesterday, you have the command of fire engines, and, you hear the engines, but you don't hear that crowd roar. When the winner got out of the car and got out of the car in victory lane, there's always a cheer, silence. So it's just, it's really kind of weird about that. One of the things that kind of struck me, having been to many races in Indianapolis and been in the stands, particularly for the Indianapolis 500, is, during the race there was no PA. So it was just the car. So there was no other noise in that sense. And so it was just, it just was really different. You could you could hear the cars all the way around the course, and you could hear normally there's just so much noise and so much happening that a lot of times the crowd can drown out some of the noise when the cars are further away from you on the track. So it was just really a different experience. And I think I think all sports are going to have that. In a basketball game, you always heard the sneakers. You're going to hear a lot more as a fan watching on television because there isn't that crowd noise type of thing, unless networks kind of add some of that in some of these sports. Hockey is going to be the same thing. It was really funny because here in my hotel room last night, I was flipping around the TV and there was some channel that had a college football game, and it was weird to hear the crowd noise. And we've seen so much of sports without crowd noise now. It was weird to see a major college football game being replayed and just the crowd noise and just the layer and the fabric it added to the event. And so that was wow. it's just kind of different, and it's going to be a different experience, and it'll be interesting to see what it'll be like when the NBA, Major League Baseball, resume NHL and NFL, what that experience is like for all of us.
Dustin, listen, we can't thank you enough for getting up and being part of the show. We're going to be tapping into your knowledge throughout the rest of this NASCAR season. Today, Brickyard, it's one of those events, much like when Major League Baseball goes and plays their game at the site of the Little League World Series. It has become that special race on the schedule this year, and we're all looking forward to it today. We're going to have you back on and talk about talk more racing next time. But you have a safe time out there, man. You and your family stay safe, but enjoy the race today, and thank you again for getting up with us.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. It's always good to talk to you and talk to the folks in Atlanta. And yeah, as you mentioned, just certainly a reminder, today's coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern with the pre-race show on NBCSN. And then at 4 p.m., move over to NBC for the broadcast of the race. And looking forward to having a good time today. So hope everybody has a great, safe day, great, safe weekend. And stay safe. And hopefully we'll be able to get back and be together all at a sporting event at some point in the future.
See you there, Sam. I'm telling you, he brings the knowledge and does a commercial. He just took away your job.
He does it all, man.
That was great, man. That was great. Dustin, take an extra 20 out of petty cash for yourself.
Enjoy there yourself. You go. Thanks a lot, guys.
Have a big day. Dustin Thanks, Long, NBC NASCAR. He did what you was going to do there, second. Everybody know what time the race came on, man. But he did it.
There you go.
Now you go get that cup of coffee. We have got our special HBCU update with Jahi Whitehead joining us next. And no, I have not forgotten about The Most Grateful. That is also coming up. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Advertisers. Like, let's say, Havilene Target, Sharpie, Caterpillar, Nextel.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. Morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And be sure to listen to us on radio.com and all your devices, including smart speakers. Got three things going on here at once now, Mr. Show. So putting out
Fire.
I'm gonna let you take it from here and introduce our next segment.
Hey, the sound you hear is the band from Howard University, HU. And the Bison, you know, they probably struck this song up Friday after the announcement that came along. Big news, one of the big sports stories of the week was an announcement that took place, came out later part of the week. Makura Maker, one of the top high school recruits in the country, has committed to go to Howard University, a five-star recruit committing to go to an historically black college, which is something that has never happened before during the time of ranking players, which our high school and youth athletes work so hard to achieve those rankings, if you believe in the star system or not. Some people believe in the stars, some folks don't. But a five-star committing to attend an HBCU, previously unheard of, and that has happened. A lot of people are talking about it. We're going to bring in Jahi Whitehead. He's been working on the other side of the glass all morning, and he has been so. Look, see there. You have been so excited about this. This man has decided to come to your alma mater.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. If you're unfamiliar with Makura Maker, he's 6'11". He's a point guard. He's a 6'11" point guard. The cousin of NBA player, NBA Detroit Pistons star, rookie Thon Maker. That is his older cousin. He decided to not go to UCLA, not go to Kentucky, not go to Duke, where all those places where he had offers from, and he decided to go to Howard University. He wasn't the only player to visit Howard University, or five-star recruit that visited Howard University this year. I want to say, I believe Richardson, last name, he decided to go to Arizona. But Howard University was also high on his list. They one of the things about Makura Maker, they brought him there during Howard homecoming. Smart move.
That'll do it.
If you're gonna entice any young man to go to Howard University, bring him there, have their official visit be during Howard homecoming. 9 times out of 10, they will probably decide to go. If they know like I know, but that is big news. That is also on the helms of the things he said. He to paraphrase something that he said during his tweet, he said he did this for so other young players will do this because everything that's going on in the climate of everything that's going on in the country right now, he felt that this was the right time for him to go to a HBCU. So he chose Howard University, and he was hoping to inspire guys like Michael Williams out of California, who has openly talked about going to an HBCU after he graduates high school, become a 2023 prospect. And one of the schools that he's thinking about going to that has an insider track, most people don't know that his mother, Mikey Williams, the 15-year-old sophomore in California, is a Hampton University alum.
Yo!
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yes. Uh-oh. His mom is a Hampton University alum. So for anybody to think that this comes out of nowhere, it does not come out of nowhere. He has very specific reasonings for potentially attending an HBCU, and with Hampton University making it to the tournament a couple years back. One of the few HBCUs that have made it to the tournament. I believe the last one was North Carolina A&T.
And has won a game.
And has won a game in the tournament as well. Yeah. They
got a nice facility up there. You ever been to Hampton's gym?
Yes, I have.
They have an awesome facility. They got a great basketball facility, awesome campus.
So they do have an inside track. Morgan State has reached out to him, and Morgan State actually has been pretty busy, to be honest. There's another young man, another 2023 prospect, a sophomore as well, Elijah Fisher. Most people might not know about him because he's from Toronto, but as we know, Toronto has produced some great players. You see RJ Barrett in the NBA right now out of Canada. But Elijah Fisher, 6'5", 185-pound shooting guard, considering to be a top recruit out of 2023 as well, is considering Morgan State. He said, "I feel like someone just needs to make a big move. We see what McCormick has done, so we hope to see some folks follow." But I want to say these guys have not started a trend. Like we said earlier, like we did the thing about Maya Moore, there was a young lady that started one of these trends as a big-time I don't want to call her a recruit, but a big-time athlete to attend a HBCU. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the name of Monet Davis.
Yeah.
Monet Davis.
Remember her from the Little League World
Series?
Little League World Series.
Yes. She actually right now attends Hampton. She's a Hampton student that decided, for the same reason, this was a few years back, but she decided that she wanted to go to an HBCU because she felt that it was important.
She's on the softball team.
She's on the softball team at Hampton University.
All right, gentlemen.
I want to ask you this.
Gentlemen, we got to jump in real quick. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. For those of you just tuning in, if you do not know what's going on right now, this is our HBCU update, a feature we started about 3 weeks ago. It is run by our own producer, Jaihee Whitehead. And now, gentlemen, continue.
And to make more things about Howard University, I'm sorry, but there is some more Howard University news. Unfortunately, with all this great news is coming about because of COVID, Howard University is canceling their homecoming events, like many schools probably are going to do around the nation. They're canceling their homecoming events. The game is still going to be played, but the events in itself, the week-long events, is going to be canceled, which will be a big blow, obviously, not only to the city of D.C., but to Howard University and to the other programmers, because like it funds a lot of programming.
Go ahead. I was going to say I had a question for him, but I stepped on you asking him a question a minute ago. So, Sam, why don't you go with yours, and then, Jaihee, take a breath, and I want to ask you one in a second. But, Sam, you started to say something.
Yeah, I was going to ask both of you. I mean, we're looking at basketball as attracting these five-star players. You know, we would love to see them in football. And I think because so many of the HBCUs are in the South and in the southern part of the country where football is so big. But I think as far as gaining parity with the other schools and major schools, maybe basketball is the route for the HBCUs to take, because it doesn't take as many of that caliber of athlete. And I'm going to ask both of you about that. If you got a five-star, you get another three-star to go along with him and some guys, because those guys are going to raise the level of the other players on the team.
Absolutely.
That's the kind of team that gets into the tournament and wreaks havoc.
Absolutely.
In the NCAA tournament. So should we not be putting the emphasis on basketball over football? I know they don't draw the big stadiums full of people. I know they don't have the band. You can bring the band to the basketball game.
Or you bring it right outside.
But I'm just saying, maybe basketball is the path that HBCU should take. And I'm going to leave that to both of you.
Let me jump in here, because actually my question or comment to Jahi revolves around this. And so, Jahi, we'll leave it to that. I don't think anything happens next, whether it's basketball or football. And you guys, we've talked about this. Until there is a TV contract with the conferences, the schools, I think that right now, there is no better time. There has never been more power at their disposal to get a TV contract in place, because being seen is where it all begins for the next person to come.
To go what you're saying, I think you're absolutely right, and I think that a lot of their plans are starting to happen. If you look at this point just alone, Jackson State University. They have hired a social marketing company, a social media company, specifically to increase the profile of their players. The MEAC has hired a consulting firm to boost the MEAC with the departure of some key schools, but also to uplift the conference to its glory days or what it once was, and to make it more modern into the new days. I don't think any of this is done by accident. I don't think Notre Dame coming to Howard University this year is by accident. I don't think McCormaker actually going there is by accident either as well. When I say that, I think knowing that Notre Dame was going to be there, that knowing that that game was going to be televised, and they usually play a Ivy League school every year, knowing that game is probably televised too. So I do think that is coming. I do think that is coming. I think some of these things take a little bit of time, but I do think coming. And to answer what you said, Sam, yes, basketball probably is the best option, because one player can change the team. One player can change the team. And I think some of these guys are realizing, especially the one-and-done guys, and I think what coaches will start doing is targeting more the one-and-done guys, because if you are a one-and-done guy, you are going to the league regardless. Nothing major is going to change you from that year. If you go to any school and play basketball and you go and have a stellar standout season and dominate to where you're playing, I don't think it's going to matter if you go to a Duke or you go to a Howard.
Ben Simmons. I said that about Ben Simmons.
Right.
What did Ben Simmons do at LSU?
He did nothing at LSU. What did Anthony Edwards do at Georgia? They did nothing, but yet Anthony Edwards is still projected to come as a top three draft pick. Ben Simmons was number one draft pick. So I don't think that is I don't think you can do the same thing in football, but you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing in basketball. One player can change the team, and if they don't make it, it's not going to be a big detriment, because they're still going to go to the league regardless.
Jahi, I tell you what, I think it's bigger than that, to be honest with you, and this is just my thought, and I'll draw a correlation to something that happened in the NFL. When you talk about one player can change a team, I think it's bigger than that. I think none of this happens unless it's seen. Okay, it's getting back to the TV contract and having these guys seen. Yes, one player can change a team, but one player can also, if they're seen, change the perception of a conference. Case in point, the NFL Central, or North, whatever you want to call it at the time being, was the Siberia of the NFL. Nobody wanted to go up there. Yeah, you had the Bears, you had the Lions, you had the Packers, you had the Vikings. Nobody still wanted to go up there as a free agent until Reggie White left Philly and went to Green Bay, and then followed by Brett Favre. And that changed the entire perception of, you had a great player going to a place that nobody wanted to go to. Now, I realize it's a much bigger stage, but my point is, if those conferences are seen, those games are seen, it just takes one, not just to change the team. I think it changes the conference and the perception about going there. That's just my thought.
Oh, no, I agree.
Let me tell you who's in the background of those. I'll tell you who's in the background of this whole thing right now. You're talking about Howard and the game they got with Notre Dame. Mike Bray, a longtime assistant to Mike Krzyzewski at Duke, but played in that time for Coach K at Duke. Bray is now the head coach at Notre Dame. Blakeney had been an assistant for him at Delaware before he went to Notre Dame. And also, Blakeney was an assistant at Seton Hall and at Harvard with Tommy Amaker. This is the Coach K coaching tree. Yeah. This is part of the Coach K coaching tree. And that's what's in the background of this entire thing. And don't you think for 1 minute he ain't thinking about that being part of his legacy as well.
Oh, absolutely. And then
just something else.
And shout out to that. Amaker is actually a relative of mine. So
really? Shout out Tommy Amaker.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I was hollering earlier for those who don't know. Yeah, for those who don't know, my parents went to Hampton.
Yeah.
So that's why I was hollering earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a great look for HBCUs. I think this is actually bigger than people want to give credit to. And there's one last thing I want to say before we get out of here, which also lends to this. Daniel Ingram was a standout football player in Ohio. He had committed to the University of Cincinnati. He has decommitted from the University of Cincinnati and is going to a HBCU, Arkansas Pine Bluff. And he was the first team all Eastern Cincinnati Conference player for 2019. He threw for 1,195 yards, threw for 7 touchdowns, ran for 857 yards, and also put 10 running touchdowns on the board. So he decided to leave University of Cincinnati and go to an HBCU. So
and
I think
that,
this is bigger.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our HBCU update with Jahi Whitehead. A great job in its third installment. By the way, tomorrow Sean's going to tell you, you got to wrap it up when you hear the music. But anyway, great job, Jay.
Thank you.
We got coming up at 9 o'clock hour, Joe Patrick going to talk Braves and Atlanta United up next. Some NFL stories and a big one from out in Washington up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.